Ron and Anian.
On Thursday, it was negative 61 degrees, and my truck wouldn't start.
Here's the problem. You know, minus 61, I don't think anything works right. All right? that's just such an extreme.
The Car Doctor.
There's going to be a lot of, in the coming months and years, there's going to be an awful lot of cars, I believe, they're going to be affected by all the calcium chloride and the chemicals that we're driving on top of right now. The roads are white. It's ridiculous. I don't know what they were expecting.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, the Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now,
the reason it says Ron and Anian and the Car Doctor is you got to let me talk every once in a while.
Here's Ronnie.
Hey, it's time to start your engines, America. 855-560-9900. Ron and Anian, the Car Doctor, at your service. Oh, my God. We were just... Okay, we got to get back to doing the show here because we are so far off the beaten path.
Tell them about Batman.
Well, we were during our top of the hour break, we ran into the green room when we were watching an episode of Dr. Phil. Has anybody seen the episode of Dr. Phil? This sort of is the Car Doctor because he's probably got a Batmobile, but the guy thinks he's Batman. Did you see that? As soon as the show's over, thank God for the DVR, I'm going to go back and watch that one because there's some guy on there who thinks he's Batman, and we're just like laughing like, no, it can't be. That's sad, actually. That's just... Wow, thank God we're normal. I just think I'm the Car Doctor. I am. That's right. So I'm here to talk about cars and solve your problems, whatever they might be, and all that good stuff. There's more information at cardoctorshow.com. And, of course, there's a Facebook page, Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor. And without any further ado, because the phones are extremely backed up and we got a big traffic jam, let's go to Brian in Philadelphia. It's 2017 Ford Fusion.
Hey, Ron, good to talk to you again.
Good, sir. Yes, sir. What's going on?
We talked not long ago, probably a couple of months ago, about my 2017 Ford Fusion with some control module problems,
Okay. Which
have been straightened out. But now I've had electronic problems with the sync device, you know, with the backup camera, radio, and Bluetooth.
Right.
And car's still under warranty, so went back to the Ford dealer. They said, we have to replace it. So they replaced it, went home, still didn't work. Called back, they said, I'll bring it back. So they said, we have to order a new one. This one's defective. They order a new one, that one's defective. So they said that Ford said they've had a bad run of sync devices. So they got me another one, and it finally worked. Now, I know I've had the problems with a couple of control modules in this. I've always thought the Fusion was something good, but it just seems like with this model, and I've looked it up, they've been, as far as power accessories and electronics, they've been sort of a real problem. These problems, as far as I know, these are not related, are they, between the sync and the control modules?
You know, I don't think so, Brian. I haven't seen a lot of failures on the Fusions, like you're saying. I think the Fusion's a great car. I think Ford's got some great product. I think maybe, and don't take this wrong, but I think maybe some of this is just maybe the extenuating circumstances around whoever's fixing it, too. And I'm not trying to knock anybody, but I...
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I see things that go about that, you know, one guy makes a misjudgment and then the next guy makes a misjudgment. And before you know it, we're in a sinkhole and we're like in quicksand pulling it in over our heads and it gets blamed on parts. And I would be cautious from here on out. You know, do we have another issue? Do we have another problem? Does one problem beget and be, you know, and create itself? Or is this the end of it? My first question on procedure, for example, on how it was fixed, didn't anybody test anything before they called you and said, the car's done?
Well, unfortunately, the first time they did test it, but the sync device, everything was working except for the Bluetooth. So they didn't test the Bluetooth because the camera was working, the radio was working, but I couldn't get the Bluetooth to function.
Right.
And then they realized, okay, we got to take it back again. So then they realized, they said that sync device, they couldn't get it working, we needed another one.
Right.
And then when they got the new one, they tested it, they said that the Bluetooth didn't work. So basically, with the sync, the camera and everything was working. The problem was getting the Bluetooth for the phone to function along with the rest of the device.
And let me guess, they couldn't test it because you didn't leave your phone with them.
Well, actually, they tested it with another phone. And when they finally got it right, they tested their phone and mine. And it finally got right. Because, like I said, this is, you know, I've had Fords for years. I've never, you know, it's always been good. After doing some research, they said the 17s have had this problem, you know, and that's sort of, you know, and it's been a good, you know, I've had good luck with Fords. Right. I like their cars.
Yeah, I like their cars, too.
But, you know, that's been the problem. And it, like I said, thank God this has all been under warranty, because I'm still under manufacturer's warranty, and they've taken care of me. They've given me loaner cars. The dealer I go to is one of these dealers that owns tons and tons and tons of dealers throughout my area. So their reputation is good. So it hasn't cost me anything monetarily, and I'm fortunate. But I'm just a little taken aback because I've never dealt with you know, electronic issues like this.
I think, and I think what you're going through, we're going to see. Well, I'll say it like this: I'm surprised we don't see more electronic issues in cars. I'm surprised we don't see more failures when you think about the amount of modules and software and programming that are in cars today. That it's really, it's just tremendous. You know, I'll say it like this: when we do a scan of computer codes. We will, you know, it's hook up the scan tool, throw it in auto mode, and it'll go through and it'll pull, or it'll go out and look for every module on the vehicle and request any code information, any code information. It knocks on everybody's door. Some cars, it's over in 30 seconds. The newer the car is, the longer it takes. I scanned a Ford, what's the big Ford? The Ford Expedition?
Expedition, which was, that was my loaner, actually.
Right.
That was my last loaner.
I scanned a Ford Expedition the other day. It took 2.5 minutes to go through all the modules on the car. And that's not and that's not extreme. I've had cars take, you know, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. You know, some of the high-line German cars can take 5 minutes to scan all the modules, if not longer. So when you look at all the electronics on cars, and you think about all the cars you've bought over the last 20 years, you know what? Be grateful you haven't had more problems. So
that's a good way to look at it.
And at least they're fixing it. Yeah, it's.
I used to be able to work on cars. I used to have some old big block V8s with carburetors. I used to be able to work on them myself. Now I can't do anything.
I'll tell you a quick story, and then I'm going to go. So I had a customer show up yesterday, and he drives a 2015 Ford Escape, and he's talking to me about his Escape and how he, you know, but he doesn't feel right, and you know, it's. You know, all the electronics, and he's happy for the electronics, but he doesn't want to fix it. And I said, listen, you need a reality check. I took him out into the shop, and I let him sit in my 72 Monte Carlo, because he's old enough to remember Monte Carlos. He actually looked out, and he said, is that a Monte Carlo? I said, yeah. He goes out to the shop.
I had one, too.
Right? He sits behind the wheel, and he's like, what did you do different to this car? Nothing. He goes, no, there's something different. I said, no, this is exactly the way the car rolled off the assembly line in 1972 when GM built it. He goes, it feels so weird. He goes, boy, I really like my Escape. Bingo, problem solved. He went to lunch. I went to lunch. We all had a, you know, it's we forget how cars were made. You know, we forget how good we have.
I had a 77 Monte Carlo. Yeah, I loved it. I wish I still had it sometimes.
Yeah, the way cars are built today, we've all got to be grateful that they're as good as they are for the consistency level that they are. You know, and that's a whole nother conversation. So, but
I feel better. You gave me a little bit of a different perspective, and I feel better that I talked to you.
Good.
So I really appreciate that.
Glad to be here for you, Brian. Let us know how it works out.
Thanks
if you have
so
any other
much.
Questions, you know where to find us. You take good care. 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor's coming back right after this.
It's the little old lady from Pasadena.
He drives that way, but when it comes to fixing cars, Ron has car advice done right. 855-560-9900. Here's Ron.
Hey, welcome back. Ron and Andy, the Car Doctor. Let's get over and talk to Paul in Minnesota. Paul, you're on at 855-560-9900. How can I help?
Ron, I got a question. What I have is like a 2014 CRV. It's my wife's car, and it came with power windows, but they're not defrostable. They're not heated mirrors. I'm sorry.
You mean mirrors? Yeah, mirrors. I was going to say. I was thinking windows, and I went. Yeah, I was thinking. Okay, where are we going? Yeah, gotcha. Okay, so you're looking to put heated mirrors on this CRV if it's possible.
Correct.
And, right.
Yeah.
What trim level CRV is it?
It's an EX.
Okay. I don't believe they put heated mirrors on EXs. To get heated mirrors, you had to go to an LX, if I remember correctly. And the problem is, you know, is the existing wiring there, number one, and then the module to turn it on? And I think the answer to it is no. So it's you know, is it possible? Sure, anything's possible. It's just how easily and at what cost. So, you know, if somebody makes a kit or if it's there and they just haven't turned it on because they haven't had the mirrors yet, it depends on how the vehicle was built. And that's going to take some research on your part. But I can tell you that whether or not on a Honda, for example, whether or not it has specific componentry is trim level related. And that's, you know, they want you to buy the trim. They, you know, not to say it can't be done. You know, I've put heated seats in cars that didn't come with heated seats because there are packages out there and there are programs out there. So I would tell you to Google search, you know, Honda CRV heated mirrors, or install heated mirrors 2014 Honda CRV and see what comes up. And then make sure you read the reviews and what's involved. Sure. What does it tie into? And, you know, maybe you'll get lucky and find out the wiring is still there. But if not, then you've got to decide, is it worth the cost?
Sure.
So,
okay.
All right, sir.
All right. Hey, I'm going to tell you about your stick question on the porches in Minnesota.
Is that true? That's true, right?
Okay. And here it is. That's true. It's an area thing. So I live in northern Minnesota, and it was minus 31 when I woke up this morning at the house.
Oh, my God.
So in all my vehicles, I have a fleet out here, and they all start. And some of them are plugged in, and if it gets really cold, the ones I have magnet heaters that are 435 below and colder, so then I throw them on the block, and everything starts Jim Dandy when I do that. But anyway, the stick is an area thing. I used to live in New Richland. I actually was a machinist in a previous life, too, and did some work for OTC, but was part of a machine shop in Waseca. And they don't get that much snow as far as accumulation typically at one point down there, but the problem was drifting. The wind would drift. You might get 6 inches of snow. I can tell you, I lived on a farm. I got 6 inches of snow one day. I came out the next day. My van was gone.
Covered in snow.
You couldn't find it.
Wow.
I left the van sit out there overnight, and another time I came in and turned. I had an attached garage. I got in the car. I thought I hit the button for the garage door when I came in. The garage door went up. And I looked at my rearview mirror. Oh, the garage didn't go up. So I hit it again. And then I see it going down, and I realize the garage door did go up. It was just a wall of snow.
Oh, my.
So what happens is that you may not get a lot of snow per capita as far as an actual accumulation, but the problem is with the winds on those plains down there, you things disappear in a hurry.
You know, you guys know there's other states where it's warmer than minus 31, right? I mean, you know, there are places, you know, there's places where it even breaks zero.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I will say that it is a lot quieter up here. Things are a lot more rural up here. Population density is a lot less up here.
Well, if there were more people by now, they probably froze. So how would you know? God bless you, brother. Minus 31, you're a tougher man than I. I don't think I could take it at this age. I want to get up and be warm in the morning.
And I do want to send condolences for your mom. I literally was just out in your neck of the woods a couple weeks ago. My dad passed away on the 15th of January.
I'm sorry.
I'm originally from the Poconos.
Okay.
So I was back out there and dealt with that. But I thought it was funny. I was there during that little snowstorm I call that whatever you guys call a snowstorm out there. But,
yeah, that was,
you know,
that was like a sprinkling for you guys.
I was like, come on, man. Not even, people are in panic mode, and it hasn't even started to snow yet.
Well, this is New Jersey. So in New Jersey, the rule is, okay, everybody buys an all-wheel drive, four-wheel drive, something vehicle. Everybody, you know, we put down – there was so much road salt, calcium chloride, snow prevention material on the roadway that I refused to drive my everyday vehicle. I drove the beater for 3 days because the amount of crud flying around in the atmosphere. You were driving down major highways in New Jersey, and it looked like caravans through the desert. All you saw was white vapor trails indicating where the it was ridiculous. I just read an article this week that the brine being used in New Jersey is so corrosive that if you don't wash your car on a regular basis in the winter, and I was going to cover it this hour, and I still might if we have time, that they're predicting that the undercarriages of the cars are going to rust out, rot out, and have issues as well. So, you know, it's welcome to New Jersey.
You would benefit from our cold weather, see, because none of that junk works here because it's too cold.
Yeah, well,
we just plow them, scrape them, and
maybe,
good luck.
I don't know. If I ever opened the garage door and there was a wall of snow, I'm done, brother. I'm back to bed and reruns of Gilligan's Island for the next 3 weeks. It's just, it's over at that point. So, but listen.
Well, it was great talking to you. Really
you too, sir.
It.
Thank you very much. You take good care. I can't imagine that much snow. I can't. That's.
I wake up and it's negative 31. I'm buying a plane ticket to Florida. I'm leaving everything behind that same day.
Yeah, it's like, here you go. There's just no doubt in my mind. It's just like, wow. But anyway, hey, did you hear the news about Motorrad? Motorrad was recently named Vendor of the Year by the Factory Motor Parts Group at the 2019 Vendor Gala. Motorrad was presented by the award was presented by the Vice President of Manufacturing, Merle Beyer. He mentioned Motorrad's commitment to service, their partnership with the sales team, the field training, the category management, and the way they are growing and the quality of their products. So a tip of the hat to the folks at Motorrad. We appreciate everything they're doing and helping us and helping the industry. And you can find out more about them at motorrad.com. I just wanted to mention that. I have a really great PB Blaster story, which I don't know if I can. I might be able to get this in real quick. You know, you're always asking me about why I use certain chemicals in certain places. So I had a 2002 Toyota that had a steering problem. It had a high steering effort issue that really was as a result of the vehicle sitting. And in order to purchase or in order to repair it, I had to soak the steering column in order to free it up from rust. And people were asking me, I think I've told this story, but they were asking me, what specifically did I use? And one of the components or one of the elements of this repair was a product called PB Blaster, which is a rust penetrant. And, you know, why did I do that? Because, you know, in order to get the rust out, to get lubricant in, you need to free the component up. You need to get the rust removed. And a rust penetrant does what its name describes. It is a penetrant. It actually burrows its way into the component and gets down. It is a creeping action. It creeps along at a certain speed, works its way down to the component, helps remove the rust, helps free things up, and then you can shoot a lubricant in, depending upon what you have to do and what you're trying to do and you know how you're trying to make it work. So in talking about this story, I don't know if we mentioned that enough, but PB Blaster worked really well for me, and you can Google them out online, and you can find it more. I believe it's at blastercorp.com and read about PB Blaster, too. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, here at 855-560-9900. Let's get over and talk to Frank in New Mexico, 86 Olds. Frank, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Yeah, thank you, Doc. I'm just trying to optimize everything here for my next smog test. Last one last March, my hydrocarbons were 178 out of an allowable 200, so that allowed me only to re-up for 1 year rather than two. Okay, March is coming up. I've tried to optimize everything. Replace the smog pump, thermostatic control valve straight from Tomco, AC Delco, a canister control switch. And I got to thinking about the vapor canister. Does that charcoal go bad? I mean, I got a new filter at the bottom of it, but what about the rest of it?
Well, theoretically, the canister could be overloaded. And, you know, if it's, we actually have back in the day, and this is a non-OBD car, But back in the day, this is a this is a non-electronic emission vehicle, if you want to think of it like that. We would weigh charcoal canisters, new versus old, just to see if they were saturated. But you got to figure 86, 96, 2006, 2016. So it's 34 years old, 35 years old. You know, it wouldn't be the worst idea to try. The other question I've got is, this is which engine? Is this a
5.0? The 5.0.
This is a 5.0. So this is the old 5.0 motor.
Yes.
If you go in front of the carburetor, did we talk about this? Because I know you've called in before. Did we talk about the little black hockey puck device?
Oh, yeah, I replaced that.
You replaced that, yeah.
Velco, and also the thermostatic control valve straight from Tomco.
Right.
Yeah, we talked about this.
Right. Right. So, you know, if that went bad, it could have pulled fuel. I'm trying to remember, will that pull fuel through the canister? I think it can. So that
so that
could have saturated the canister, and at that point, sure, changing it. Listen, if you can get your hands on a new one for a 34-year-old car, and I know you love this car to death, you know what? There's nothing like having inventory, brother. All right?
Yeah, especially for these old puppies.
Right.
Yeah.
It's, you know, when I purchased the Monte Carlo, I did the same thing with the 55. I have stacks of parts. It's just cheaper to have, you know, the common everyday wear items, the switches, the controls, the basics, whatever you can still get of a decent quality. It's not going to hurt. And, you know, put it on the shelf and you hang on to it, or when it goes bad, or when you have wonder, is it bad? Then you've got to go and pay somebody on the outside to try and get some whatever level grade part, and hopefully that works. So if it's still available, buy it, put it on the shelf.
Yeah.
Hopefully you never
use it. I hope you get a hold of your Frigidaire Harrison compressor.
We actually,
you mentioned that last week. I started looking for them. I couldn't find a single one.
Yeah, they're hard to find. I have a call. I have a friend up in Michigan, and I forgot to call him back. That was 3 months ago. I've been busy. I forgot. And he has two used ones that he said I'm welcome to. I have to pay shipping, which is no big deal. I have to think of who had those. I forgot.
I also replaced the smog pump because the old one was just shot, wasn't putting out anything but noise.
Yeah.
So I think I'm on the right track.
So let me ask you, we heard from Minnesota today where it was 31 below this morning. What's the weather like in New Mexico today?
Let's see. I can look at the thermometer here. It's probably 51 or 52.
Okay, we got
to
go.
And it's down to our coldest this year has been 9 degrees.
Okay.
We'll get up to 60.
It's 23 degrees here in New Jersey today. So and you know, people don't understand. I have to point this out. Why does Ron keep asking about the weather? Because it's interesting to see the different variations of weather in the country, because that affects how cars operate. It's all about the cars. And isn't it amazing when you look at the way a manufacturer can produce a product that works in minus 31, plus 51, and higher and lower and all points in between, and look at how well they work. Pretty amazing what we can manufacture as a world today. So, you know, kind of neat stuff.
Anyway, I really love this show, and I appreciate all your help.
Thank you, sir. I'm here for you if you need me. Good luck.
Thanks, Ron.
Take good care. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Let's go over and talk to Alvin in Wisconsin. And some problems with his Chevy Impala. Alvin, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How are you?
Spectacular. Yourself?
Good, good. What's going on?
So I got a 2012 Chevy Impala. The heater likes to, I replaced the blower motor and the blower motor actuator, and it seems like when you are driving, the heat will actually blow, but when you go into stop, the heat will fluctuate or not work at all, or actually cold air. It doesn't matter which one it is. If after the car warms up, it works totally fine.
Well, wait a minute now. Are you saying, because you started out talking about the blower, are you losing fan or are you losing
heat? A fan doesn't, it kicks in. Like when you're driving, the fan kicks in, whatever. When you come to a stop, like a stop sign, it'll fluctuate on, off, a couple seconds on, whatever, back and forth, or it won't go on at all. And then as soon as you like drive the car for a while, the car's all warmed up real good, like real good warmed up, it will work pretty much fine.
Okay, you put a blower motor and a blower motor control module in it.
The actuator, obviously choosing the like speeds wise. It's my sister's vehicle actually, but I was working on it and I was just so confused because sometimes the car warms up, everything works fine, so I can't test anything at that point. And so by the time she gets here, everything's kind of working fine.
Okay, so does this have a blower module? Is this got the module down on the bottom side of the case?
Yeah.
Okay. So you changed that module and the blower motor.
You're correct. And then the blower motor is quite like dirty. I thought maybe like something like build up inside the motor and so it's like dirt and that kind of stuff. So it's like fluctuating on and off kind of thing. So okay. That's what I thought it was the issue.
So let's do this, Booby. Okay. Get a wiring diagram. I can tell you where to start, but you're going to want to do this with a wiring diagram. Going into that blower module, there's a red wire.
Yep.
All right. That should have battery voltage in all fan speed positions. So regardless of where the fan speed position is, that should read battery voltage at all times.
Okay.
So if we were talking about this at the shop and I was the foreman and you were the tech, I would tell you that Alvin, go to that particular car, set it up with a DVOM, put a voltmeter on it, make sure you've got power on that red wire all the time. All right.
Okay.
And that's something you can do that cold. Just set it up tonight. Tomorrow morning, you know, do I have power? Yes, I've got power there at the red. Then you want to go to the gray black wire. That's the changing signal when you go, you know, high and low blower speed. The voltage will be higher one way and lower in the other. And go through each wire. Listen, you can figure out how the circuit works. You don't even need me for that because if it works good when it's warm, just follow. You know, how does it work when it's warm? It should work the same way when it's cold.
Right.
Okay? But I would sit down and I would go through this vehicle, you know, hot and then go through it cold. What's missing? Did anything change? If nothing changed, then I would disconnect the blower motor and put a headlamp across it. If you can make the headlamp varying brightness, high to low, low to high, hot and cold, how do you know you don't have a bad new part?
Right, right, true that.
You know? Remember what new stands for. Never, ever worked. Yeah. Do that. You call me back next week. All right, kiddo? And we'll go
Thank
from
you
there.
Much.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye. Ron and Annie in the Car Doctor, 855-560-9900. We're coming back right after this.
Little GTO, you're really looking fine. Three deuces and a four-speed.
Need advice on how to maintain that classic GTO? Ron is the guy. 855-560-9900. Here's Ron.
Hey, welcome back. Let's get on over and talk to Tim in Florida. Tim, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Hi. So I have a question for you. I obviously have a 96 F-150 and kind of happened overnight. But the steering just all of a sudden started getting very stiff and very hard. I can still turn it. It almost seems like when I go to turn it fast or like when I try to do a U-turn, it'll catch. It'll be real stiff, then it'll loosen up, and then it'll get stiff again. So I figured my power steering pump was whining. So I went ahead and I flushed all the power steering fluid out of it. I jacked it up, and when I put power steering fluid back in it, it didn't seem to whine. It still whines a little bit now, but it's not as loud.
Right.
I put that stuff in there to make it stop whining, whatever that agent is. But
right.
When I had it on jack stands, I could turn the wheel lock to lock with a finger. But then the minute I put it on the ground, it went right back to what it was continuing to do.
Yeah.
And then
yeah, go ahead.
Now I'm also having the problem, which I didn't have before, is that when I turn the wheel, it almost sounds like it's rubbing on the inside of the steering wheel. It sounds like sometimes it'll squeak, sometimes it'll rub, sometimes it'll creak. It sounds like you're crushing a Doritos bag.
Okay. So what I typically do here, and yeah, I've been down this road where you jack it up in the air and there's little or no steering effort because there's no weight on the vehicle. There's no weight on the tires. There's no weight on the suspensions. It's not loaded. So, you know, the most I'll do there is I will disconnect the tie rod and just try turning it on the ball joint on its own. And even that's not a valid test because there's no load. So my first question is, you know, and maybe you had dirty fluid, maybe the fluid was tired, so flushing it, you know, changed the noise and could have possibly helped. There's no law that says you've only got one issue. Is it that it has power steering and then it's tight and then it releases and then it's tight and then it releases? It varies in effort. It's like inconsistent, or that it has no power steering at all. It's manual steering.
No, it definitely has power steering. Whether it's working 100%, I don't think so.
Okay.
But yeah, most of the time when I turn, it'll be hard, and then I'll get through a point. And then I'm also noticing it's got a little, like, a good little bit of slop to it now. Like, when I steer, it kind of, like, to make a left turn, I've kind of got to go, like, three times around on the steering wheel.
Right. It's a delayed reaction type of thing.
Right.
So you should have a steering shift between the bottom of the column and the top of the box?
Yes.
Okay. When you look at that, there are U-joints in there. Are there not?
Yes, there are.
Okay. Have you considered those as binding or failing?
I mean, I haven't considered it. No, that's okay. why I called you.
So here's a cheap test. All right.
Okay.
Get yourself a can of Penetrant, PB Blaster, or something. You got a local O'Reilly Auto Parts?
Yep, I've got a can of that actually
okay.
already.
So yeah, if you've got some PB Blaster, you know, put some newspaper down or a catch pan underneath you, because you're going to make a mess out of the driveway or wherever you got it parked. And hit that U-joint, if there's one or two, hit the U-joints with some of the PB and let it soak. Turn the wheel, let it soak, you know, give it 10 minutes, 20 minutes, have a cup of coffee, let it soak. You know, over the course of a couple of hours, if you can do this and keep, you know, medicating it and moving it into a different position and let the PB soak in, see if that frees it up. If that makes any sort of a difference, you know you're on the right track. Then it can be a possibility where you take the shaft off, put it into a trough of oil, and let it soak overnight and see if it frees up. You'll actually feel it when you pull it apart that the joints are tight and loose like a bad U-joint on a drive shaft. Keep in mind, okay, if you do disconnect it, if you do take it apart, put the seatbelt through the steering wheel so the wheel doesn't spin on its own in case it doesn't lock. You don't want to have any issues if it's an airbag-equipped vehicle, which obviously it is in 96. You don't want to upset anything there. And just if the wheels are straight ahead, index the wheel straight ahead, index the steering wheel straight ahead so you don't have any problems with that as well. But try that with a can of PB Blaster and see what that does for you, and we can kind of talk about it next week if we need to. All right? You take good care, Tim. Let me know what happens. I'm Ron Anning, the Car Doctor. We're back right after this. Welcome back. Ron Anning, the Car Doctor. Winding it up. Let's go over and talk to Roger in North Dakota. Roger, how are you today? What can I do?
Thanks for taking my call, Ron. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir.
So I got an 07 GMC Envoy, and when it gets real cold, 15 or 20 below, a little bit colder than that, it's getting some ice on the plate of the throttle body.
How do you know that, just out of curiosity?
Well, I took the air hose off and the engine cover that connects to it, and I just kind of looked at the plates, and I could see the ice build up. And when you start the car, it's given me a couple codes. It's given me P0102 and P2176.
Right.
And the 2176 had to do with the throttle actuator control system.
Right.
And then I'm using the Bosch mobile scan, and it had said that the most common problem or the solution was to clean the throttle body.
Right, so, because they're thinking it's carbon. But if this is truly ice, you know, I haven't seen throttle icing, you know, since the day of carburetors, and it was just, you know, it had to be just right. It was the outside temperature is, you know, real cold, and the humidity is probably more than 60-70%, and you know, you're going to ice the throttle. It's the problem planes have flying at altitude when they had carburetors. So my question is there I'm trying to remember what an 07 looks like. Is there a crankcase breather tube or some sort of?
Yep. Crank,
yeah. Okay. So is
and the, there's actually a service bulletin out on it for ice through the PCV system.
Right. That's what I was thinking about. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And so, you know, the first time it happened, I replaced the air filter on it, and I changed the oil. I looked in the PCV hose, and there's no sludge and no ice. There's just ice on that throttle body plate. And now it happened again last night on me. And I'm just wondering what the cause could be on it. I looked online, and some people seem to be routing the PCV into the intake manifold, but that just doesn't seem like a solution to me. It's just kind of changing the problem area.
Well, but yeah, because listen, in order to have ice, it's got to freeze, and you got to have moisture. So mm-hmm. the question is, where's the moisture coming from?
Sure.
And is the moisture coming out of the crankcase? Why has the crankcase got so much moisture in it? Because it's not, unless it's coming out of atmosphere, but, well, why don't we do this? What if we just disconnect the hose from the intake tube and, you know, I guess block it so we're not dragging unmetered air through the hose because it's after the mass airflow sensor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we just block it temporarily, let it breathe the atmosphere? Who cares for a short trip? Does that cure the icing? If that doesn't cure the icing, then the problem's got nothing to do with the PCV. If it does, then at least we know what we're chasing. Then we've got to think about how are we going to clean out the crankcase. Do we have a crankcase issue with high humidity or high moisture content in it for some reason? And at least it gives you a way to go. Try that this week and call me back. Would you do that, Roger? I got to go. I'm up against the clock. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, reminding you, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.